This weekend there is a centenary celebration and a centenary commemoration, I should say, of the events of September 1922, and that is the takeover of Kenmare Town by anti-treaty forces and one of the atrocities of the Civil War, and that is the murder of John and Tom O'Connor Scartine, two National Army officers who only days before had participated in the Kenmare landings, which was a key moment in the Irish Civil War and a key moment of the breakup of the Munster Republic, which was then held by anti-treaty forces. We had the landings in Finnet and Tarbert as well, and other parts of the country. With me in our studio here to talk about this in more detail, we have Councillor Patrick Connor O'Connor Scartine, of course, who is a grandnephew of the Scartine brothers, and we've Tom Doyle, author of Civil War in Kerry. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining me on the programme.
Good morning.
Patrick, I'll start with you. Listen, how important, I suppose, is this weekend? How big a moment was this when you look back at the 100 years and your family? This obviously dominated the course of your family's own history, the politics you've been involved in, those terrible events of September 1922.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it would have had a huge bearing on the family over the last 100 years. It's very important to honour them this weekend. You know, generally the family just has a mass. And that's it, but there was something special done for the 50th anniversary, and we just said we better do something special for the 100th anniversary as well. And I suppose you'd first have to think of their parents, really, at the time, you know, losing two sons in very tragic circumstances in their home. One was, I think Tom was 25 and John was 20, and it's just it was all very sad, really. And look, there was fierce tragedies on both sides, and it was a very difficult part of our history as a nation. And I suppose, look, it led to the foundation of the state. It's such a shame that, you know, both sides were fighting side by side against the British during the War of Independence, and there was a good record in Kerry, you know, involving such incidents there as the Hetford ambush, which Tom was involved in. And they, you know, the two brothers were involved a lot in that era, and, you know, they became very friendly with fellas, you know, fought side by side against them, and
a short few months later they were on opposing sides.
5 months, you're in the throes of civil war. And
why did they join the National Army? Why did they take the pro-treaty side? Because the decision, like for everyone who fought side by side, you know, against the British to get them out, had that decision to make.
They did. Like, I suppose a lot of their comrades within the IRA would have taken the anti-treaty side predominantly. The general public in Kerry, it was a bit more mixed. A lot of people were weary of the War of Independence, the destruction. They wanted to get on with their lives. You know, I'm not saying there was any major starvation, but there would certainly have been food shortages.
Yeah,
there would have been disruption to railway lines, to roads, to everything. A lot of them would have seen it as a stepping stone, the treaty, to get overall freedom for a 32-county united republic eventually.
Yeah. Was Michael Collins a factor?
Michael Collins was in Killarney in April 1922, saying to the people why they should accept the treaty, and there was a big crowd in Killarney came to see him, including Tom and John, and they would have came over with other fellas from the Kenmare area, and they were persuaded by the great Michael Collins at the time why they should join the National Army, and they did. They came back to Kenmare, and I don't know whatever way it was, either in Kenmare or whatever, but they were up in Dublin in a short space of time. And then in June 1922 you would have had the Battle of Dublin, and they would have partaken in the Battle of Dublin, and I suppose the main aspect of that was the shelling of the forecourts. Thereafter then they kind of fought in various engagements on the way down, and I think it was around Limerick, maybe it was Kilmallock, and then they were out in Killaloe as well, I believe, for a while before I suppose the seaborne landings took place, and as you said there, there was already Tarbert and Finnet, and Tom with a few others led a group of, I think it was around 200 from the Shannon around the Kerry coast, and a lot of them were made up of fellas from the Western Division. There would have been obviously a lot of Kerry lads initially because that had been fighting in Dublin coming back, but you would have had guys from Clare and Galway as well with them, and they came in down around the Kerry coast, down in Kenmare Bay, and a lot of the people, I suppose, they had to keep their heads down at the time, but the people who were disposed towards pro-treaty would have joined up when they landed.
Yeah,
there wasn't, you know, much of an incident at that stage on taking the town, and soon after they would have gone on to Waterville and Carnarvon.
And other areas. Yeah, we're talking with Councillor Patrick O'Connor Scartine and also Tom Doyle about the centenary, the 100th anniversary of the murders of the O'Connor Scartine brothers, Tom and John, during the Irish Civil War. Tom Doyle, good morning to you, author of The Civil
good
War
morning.
In Kerry. Thanks for talking to us in the programme this morning. Now, I suppose it's important in the context of what happened. This was, Kenmare had been landed, shall we say, by the National Army forces, and this has been part of the breakup of the so-called Munster Republic, these surprise landings which caught the anti-treaty side completely by surprise, very effective. This was part of the pushback by them. Around 84 men led by Sean Hyde and John Joe Rice took over Kenmare, successful attack on Kenmare, capturing rifles and machine guns and considerable ammunition. But during that attack, we had this murder of the Scartines.
Yeah, the killing of the Scartine brothers was actually a maverick action by Con Looney and a man known by the nickname of Sailor Dan Healy. And, you know, it was totally separate from the main military engagement, but they felt that the Connor brothers had kind of betrayed Kenmare and the Republican tradition by going over to the Free State. So it was like the actual victory was a huge, not only in material terms, but in psychological terms, it was a huge victory for the anti-treaty forces. And later in the month, they fought the 9th of September attacking Kenmare with a similar assault in Killaughlin. And without the Kenmare arms that they succeeded in capturing, they would not have attempted Killaughlin. Then the Killaughlin enterprise involved the death of Con Looney, who may well have been targeted because some of the Kenmare garrison were redeployed. You know, they were forced to march from Kenmare to Killarney. Like the anti-treaty people took their greatcoats and boots because they were practical, but the rest would, so the Kenmare ex-garrison, then, like, maybe they identified Con Looney because he was definitely
perhaps that, and that was, Tom, an element of, let's say, you're talking about the death of Michael Collins, you're talking about losses on both sides, you're in a period where things are going from where they had been all together, they're fighting a civil war against each other now, and this was an escalation of, I suppose, tit for tat, wasn't it, in terms of what
happened? Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, taking on a garrison and towns like the size of Killaughlin and Kenmare, like, would be totally a new experience for the treaty forces, because normally they're concentrated in ambushes, but given the amount of ammunition and weapons that, and obviously the success of Kenmare, like, they felt that they could carry on the momentum, and like, it was a huge hugely ambitious military strategy for the anti-treaty field to adapt. Like, it was extremely rare, you know. We're inclined to think that what happened in Kerry was the same as everywhere else, but
no,
it obviously wasn't, even in 1923 especially, you know. But yeah, but like, the blot on the reputation of the National Army was absolutely enormous, like, because Tom O'Connor was a brigadier, so he was the highest ranking officer in, you know, like, after the garrison in Tralee and Killarney, like. But the level of, say, symbolic kind of sense of, you know, the National Army felt that they chose the 6th of December to reoccupy Kenmare. Now, that's highly symbolic because it was the centenary, the 1st anniversary of the signing of the treaty, and it more or less meant that once they recaptured Kenmare, it was felt that the civil war would come to an end because the provisional government would take over, would be finished, and the Free State government would be a year in office, you know. So I think that it was definitely felt that after the lot of the 9th of September killings of the O'Connor brothers, the 6th of December would clean that, and I'm sure they expected that after that, like, the civil war would say it out, you know, because by December most of the resistance was finished, but that turned out to be a premature expectation.
Yeah, Tom, why did it get so vicious in Kerry? It's a question that's been asked many times, and we're heading into a period now of remembering all this 100 years on, and perhaps maybe putting aside the enmity and taking a balanced view of things. But why did it get particularly bad here, do you think?
Yeah, I think there are several factors that kind of... Yeah, first of all, the troops that came to Kerry were from outside the county. Like, you had the Dublin Guard under Paddy Daly, who were quite, you know, they were very loyal to Michael Collins. But after Collins' death, like, they were on...
The gloves came off after Collins' death. And I suppose the Scartine deaths as well would have amplified that the gloves came off from the National Army side.
Yeah, because Collins would have been a moderating influence on the way that the National Army behaved. But the second reason then was like that the National Army felt that Kerry had done very little to achieve the War of Independence victory. And they resented the fact that they were going to go down to Kerry to try and, you know, defeat people who had done nothing to achieve independence.
In their mind, yeah.
Yeah, that's all we're seeing, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously then, the basic reason that things got so brutal and, you know, vindictive in 1923 was because basically the war went on too long in Kerry. And they were, like, I suspect when Collins gave the commanders, like Michael Hogan of the Post Westerns and Paddy Daly of the Dublin Guard, like, he expected once Kerry was under control with their boots on the ground in August that the area of units in Limerick would come down to Kerry and they'd put up a token resistance, and maybe by September the war would be over, because
be all over.
I think that was his expectation, you know, we'll take over to Kerry, and after a while, once they put up, you know, they save their face militarily, they'll agree to start of accepting the government. That would be my... No, I don't know if that's valid, but I think
yeah,
it's what kind of thought.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick, look, on the morning itself and what happened itself, they were in the family bakery. They were killed, one of them at the top of the stairs, the other dragged from his bed, and there was shock in the area. I think the anti-treaty forces pulled out for a day to allow the funerals to go ahead, because all sides kind of, you know, recognised the shock and the esteem in which the O'Connor brothers were held in.
I suppose, yeah, all sides were actually gutted by it, really, because, as I said, they would have fought side by side with the other lads a couple of months earlier. So, you know, when you know someone really well, and when they were so young, the location where it happened, the manner in which it happened, it kind of, the effect it had then throughout Kerry was quite huge. But the it was, look, obviously the family, it had a huge effect on first, and then of course you know, Tom McElstrom would have been fought, I suppose he was their commander after Almond died in Hitford, and he would have fought side by side against the British with them, and he was shocked by it. He actually came into the house and met the two brothers' mother and sympathise with them.
That was kind of amazing, really, in the middle of a vicious civil war after this had just happened, mm-hmm. that he came to express his... And was that part of why your family at the time, was it their mother expressed the feeling that she wanted mass said or wanted to pray for the people who had done it, that the enmity... There wasn't a revenge element from within your family?
No, she ensured that there was never bitterness, you know, amongst any of her family after that. And like she said, she saw the priest coming into the yard in the farm up in Scartine, and she supposedly said anyway that when the priest was coming up, she said, "Oh God, Tom must be dead. Please God, John will give up the fighting now." Little did she realise that both her sons were dead.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing was, like, she said to the priest to say a mass for the souls of the men who killed her boys. I mean, that was quite amazing, really.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was, you know, and it was shocking, really, on both sides.
Yeah.
The things that happened, especially in Kerry, really, do you know.
Yeah. And it's important we, I suppose, remember it in a calm and balanced way. Now we're 100 years on, with the benefit of hindsight and history and all that's happened since.
Yeah, like, look, our commemoration now on Sunday, you know, it'll be sensitive, it'll be respectful. You know, we'll be open-minded, and it's to remember the past but look to the future with optimism as well. So, you know, we've look, please God, now with the weather, that's the main factor now for Sunday. But look, it's we have an oration there by Minister Peter Burke. He's actually from the same constituency as Sean McKeown, the blacksmith of Ballinilly, who launched the memorial to them there in 1951. There will be the army are attending, and there'll be a colour party from them, and we'll have reed laying, and it'll be hugely symbolic as well, and a real step forward to have someone from, as they say, the other side of the fence. So Minister Norma Foley will be laying a reed. There'll also be members of families from the other side will say that we're involved there in Ballyseedy and Countess Bridge in Killarney, and everyone is welcome. And you know, it's just, the only thing I would say is that people would arrive well in advance of the time.
It's on in Old Kenmare Cemetery.
Old Kenmare, and for those from maybe other parts of the county and indeed the country that are travelling, that's adjacent to Sheen Falls Lodge, just a couple of miles outside the town. So 1:30 on Sunday, but you know, I'd advise people to get parked up well in advance and arrive there well in advance. And as I say, now it's we're looking forward to it, and it's a special day. It's important to remember a day like this. The last one was, as I say, 1972 for the 50th. So it's a few weeks on from Béal na Bláth that a lot of people would have attended, and we will deal with it, as I say, in a sensitive manner, respectful manner.
Okay.
And it's open to everyone.
Spot on. Brilliant. Patrick, thanks for talking to us. Tom, final brief point to you. Look, it's important that these things are dealt with, I suppose, in a sensitive way, that they're remembered and talked about, not forgotten or not brushed over either.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the only way to kind of, you know, have a perspective on what caused so much bitterness and hatred for two or three generations, you know, that we can now look at it in a calmer and more considered, you know, without being personalized or vindictive towards those people that lost their lives on both sides of the conflict.
Yeah, indeed. Listen, Tom, thanks so much for talking to us in the programme this morning.
You're welcome.
Tom Doyle there, who wrote The Civil War and Kerry Well Worth Checking Out, and Councillor Patrick O'Connor Scarteen.